This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Hoffman Center nutritionist Layla Mudin, and we're answering your questions. So, Layla, what else is in the mailbag?
All right. We've got an email from via Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a longtime listener and greatly admire the work you do. I think I've heard every podcast you've ever published in the last 5 years. You provide so much good and useful information. Well, I know I've not been doing this for 5 years, but you certainly have, Dr. Hoffman.
Well, I think, you know, we're getting on to at least 3+ years.
Yeah,
4 million plus downloads. And I think we've been doing our Q&A with Layla almost from the inception. And then after a year or so, you got into your own individual podcast, which really complemented the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. So great.
Which has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Via. So she says, first, I've heard you talk a lot about the benefits of the specific carbohydrate diet. And I know personally about its efficacy as one of my children has Crohn's disease. However, I also know you discourage the use of all sweeteners, including honey. But the SCD allows the use of honey and still works. Do you subscribe to the late Elaine Gottschall's theory that honey is different and less harmful than sugar? That's a great, thoughtful question.
Yeah. So well, let's see if we can explain that. Yeah. And what's the rationale for not including certain sugars, but in allowing others, according to that
exactly.
Guy,
anyway. Now, with the specific carbohydrate, this is a very, very therapeutic diet. I think it's one of the most therapeutic that I administer, specifically for Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, ulcerative proctitis, C. diff that just won't go away, intractable diarrhea, and other things. It's also, we're finding out lately, very good for SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Now, in the setting of Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, the rationale with allowing honey but not other sweeteners is honey is a monosaccharide, not a disaccharide, as are other sugars like sucrose, table sugar, or anything else. So the fact that it's a monosaccharide, we're basically in this therapeutic diet, the specific carbohydrate diet, we are eliminating the foods that are most problematic for the GI tract and the most easily digestible. Honey, which contains fructose, the monosaccharide, it's also found in fruit and real fruit juice with no added sugar. And this is why it's, quote, legal or allowed on the SCD. Now, can you get too much honey? Absolutely. We have patients with Crohn's and colitis. When they go a little bit too far with honey, they may be drawing too much water to the gut. It's almost introducing a bit of fructose intolerance. Mm-hmm. Because just like eating too much salt, adding that much sugar can also draw more water to the gut and cause some diarrhea. But the other thing is, too much sugar in and of itself is not healthy anyway. Mm-hmm. So this is part of the rationale
or
on
it
specific
could
carbohydrate
promote
diet.
The growth of yeast, or it could promote the growth of pathogenic bacteria in some way.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And because specific carbohydrate diet completely eliminates grains, it's basically taking care of a food group that's very highly fermentable and can feed a lot of bad bacteria. But then using limited amounts of monosaccharide like honey can, in this context, be safe for most people to take.
Indeed. And, you know, I have here the latest study, which is it's a small study, but it showed improvements in virtually all of a group of pediatric patients who took the diet for Crohn's disease. In the conclusion of the article in this study, a strict specific carbohydrate diet was effective to improve laboratory values and maintain growth
in pediatric patients with Crohn's disease. We know there's growth retardation as a feature of this. So these patients, even though they're on a more restricted diet, I mean, this is what we say, you know, less is more. Less foods
is
actually going to have better results, ultimately. You can.
That's true. That's true. And because SCD is fairly restrictive, it's also a matter of finding the most types of foods available so that the person can still enjoy their diet.
Exactly. And that's in a pediatric setting. You're really going to want to include some savory, sugary foods. So allowing legal sugars and precluding the illegal sugars. Sucrose is not legal because sucrose is two sugars. It's a disaccharide. The idea behind the specific carbohydrate diet is it is certain specific carbohydrates are eliminated and others are permitted. The ones that are allowed are what are called monosaccharides, which would be glucose and fructose. Yeah, I know fructose is a big bugaboo, but you know, small amounts of fructose can be well tolerated, except in fructose intolerant patients. There's some people who malabsorb fructose, just as there are some people who malabsorb lactose.
Yes.
Lactose, by the way, is a disaccharide.
Is another disaccharide, yes, yes, which is not on the specific carbohydrate diet as well.
Right.
For that reason. And, of course, all the polysaccharides, those are the starches, those particular carbohydrates that are completely eliminated because they cause too much effort on the gut, or they feed too much of the bacteria, which is exacerbating, if not causing, the condition of Crohn's ulcerative colitis or prompting an immune response like that, an overactive immune system.
Indeed.
So it's one of the most therapeutic diets. I'll tell you, it's very gratifying to see, especially those be able to come down off of their medications that they've been on for years. And even those really big immunosuppressants like Humira and Imuran, and it's just very gratifying to see that patients are able to come off of that and control these particular conditions with diet. So
indeed, and you're one of the mainstays of our approach, although we have to adjust the diet sometimes. We may allow certain illegal foods back in,
right.
We may preclude certain, quote, legal foods. Some
patients,
for example, don't tolerate the yogurts that are dairy-based.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowed on the specific carbohydrate diet, but we find that a small percentage of patients who have ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease just don't tolerate dairy at all, even if it's highly fermented, like homemade yogurt.
Yes. With the 24-hour fermentation, which is supposed to get rid of all of the lactose. And again, as in any therapeutic diet, everything is modifiable depending on how the patient is presenting, what their symptoms are, how far along they are in their healing, and the introduction of something like resistant starch, which is not a component really of specific carbohydrate diet, but may be beneficial for those who are really well in remission and feeling well to reintroduce some resistant starches like cooked chilled potato and white bean to add the very, very beneficial short chain, the butyrates that are very beneficial for the gut and the health of the gut.
So. Yeah, well, we've talked about in the past Gibson's conundrum. Gibson, I believe his first name is Peter Gibson, is a guy who formulated the FODMAP diet, low FODMAP diet, at Monash University in Melbourne, Australia. And it's, you know, he comments on the specific carbohydrate diet as being therapeutic, but the paradox is that because the diet reduces the amount of undigestible starch, which is therapeutic for some, this undigestible starch is a building block for butyrate, which is a healing short-chain fatty acid in the gastrointestinal tract. So the paradox is, on the one hand, do we want to really insist on a very strict SCD, or can we add some resistant starch to the diet to encourage the production of butyrate? And that's really the clinician's judgment call here. And you know, I think we're there's no rocket science way to know when to hold and when to fold on expanding the diet and adding new foods, but I think we've got a pretty good feel for it.
Yes, yes. Well, especially if the patient is, for instance, if they're in a full-blown flare. You know, really, that is not the time to introduce any resistant starch. As a matter of fact, they should go to phase one of the diet, which is really pretty austere for at least a week's time to see that they begin to get better and come out of the flare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the SCD is not one monolithic diet. There's delicious desserts. You have plenty of almond flour on it, but that's not in phase one. If a patient comes in and they're bleeding and they're on high dose steroids and they're
exactly.
a couple of steps away from going on biological medication, and they want to avoid that, then you're not a great time to have some of these scrumptious, sugary almond flour muffins.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, we've had patients where they go into complete remission, they're fine, and then they start to go too far into those almond flour products or other treats, and then too much use of honey, and they find that their symptoms are beginning to return. Those are the first things I point to say, you know what, you need to either eliminate them for a time or really drastically reduce them to see if your symptoms start to diminish. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the question mark with honey, and a lot of those products are sweetened with honey.
So here's a pitch, and I'm urging anyone out there who has ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease who hasn't tried the diet to try the diet, and or if you're, say you're a well-meaning friend or relative, point them in that direction. Get them the book Breaking the Vicious Cycle by Elaine Gotchel, for which I wrote the introduction. But do so with the supervision of a qualified and experienced nutritionist like Layla, who really has a lot of depth and experience in working with us, and or a nutritionally oriented physician like myself. Because I think one of the reasons for disappointment with the SCD is people follow it by rote and don't modify it or adjust it to their own personal circumstances. And I think your chances of success are greater. So while it sounds self-serving, I really think it's important to work with someone who is familiar with this paradigm. At the very least, work with Layla if you can't afford the full freight of a medical consultation with our team, which is Layla and me working together with you. Okay, so Layla, I'm going to do something quite remarkable. I'm actually going to remember... this is a good time for our sponsor to share with us this brief message. So are you proud of me? Because I'm, usually
I am.
I get so absorbed with answering the questions that I forget to acknowledge our sponsor. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. And it's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Okay, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And let's get right back to questions.
Okay, we've got an email from Darwin. Layla and Dr. Hoffman, love your work. Listen to every podcast. Thank you, Darwin.
That's an interesting name. And by the way, Darwin is the name of one of my good friends in medical school. But I don't think, I think he's probably too smart to have to, ask us questions here. He knows, he's a big nutrition expert.
Quite so here... Yeah, here's Darwin's question. At 76, I still awake during the night, feeling hot for a while, then it subsides. Do I have low estrogen? What is estrogen dominance? Okay. Which supplements are best? I already take 30 supplements per day, so I'm looking for one or two of the best supplements.
Well, hold on. So we presume that Darwin is a male, because that's a male name.
Yeah.
It's possible. But is it possible that Darwin is a female?
They're talking about estrogen. So, I was going to defer to you, Dr.
Thanks. Okay. So let's, on the one hand, we got to be careful with supplements because among the supplements, there are a couple that may actually cause you to feel hot. I'm thinking niacin in particular. High dose niacin could give you a flash. And you have to be careful with that. Are there herbs or are there, things in this witch's brew of numerous supplements, we'd want to check that first. On the other hand, it's more likely that a hot flash is due to low levels of estrogen, which we can pinpoint with a blood test. Can this happen in a male? Yes, the answer is Yes, men, especially who get hormone blockers for prostate cancer, for example,
have
experienced terrible hot flashes. Women who get breast cancer treatment with hormonal blockers get terrible hot flashes. Women who've just experienced hysterectomy will get terrible hot flashes. But it could also, sometimes hot flashes can be alleviated with natural progesterone. You know, the other thing that we got to keep in mind when it comes to hot flashes is blood sugar. Blood sugar, because I in the past doing glucose tolerance tests in my office, patients get sweaty, their palms become moist, they become jittery, and that's a blood sugar reaction. So sometimes if you have a problem in the middle of the night, you know, a little bit of a protein carbohydrate snack near bedtime can help you kind of tide you over through the night.
And you know, Darwin mentions all the supplements. That he's taking, but I also want to mention some things possibly in the diet that may be causing you to hot flash.
Sure.
Are you having caffeine later in the day? Okay. You know, a cup of coffee after dinner? Are you having red wine? Are you having chocolate? Is your bedroom too hot?
Yeah.
That's a whole other topic too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the bedroom is too warm, and the optimal temperature for sleeping is between 60 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
So Darwin, check the temperature of your bedroom. That could be something.
Quite simply.
Yeah.
We need a little more data, I think, to have a targeted answer. And so is it foolish for, if Darwin were a male, to be talking about estrogen levels? Actually, men have estrogen levels. It's appropriate for men to have some estrogen levels. There's actually a genetic, rare genetic condition where men produce zero estrogen. And it's of interest that the men with that condition generally have very low IQs. So estrogen is really important for the brain in men and in women.
Wow.
It's like they say, cultivate your feminine side. there really is something to it, is that men have to have a little bit of estrogen. But when men have too much estrogen, that's what's happening when you have aromatization of your testosterone. Your testosterone's low, your estrogen's high. You may have gynecomastia,
that's male breasts.
Male breasts, made famous in an episode of Seinfeld with George Costanza. developed with his the man bro. I think it was called the man bro. It was like the male brassiere. let's not go there. That is an excess rounded body fat, fat deposition around the hips and the abdomen, certainly may be associated with excess estrogen in men. Men who take too much testosterone without a testosterone blocker, anastrozole, that is sometimes used by bodybuilders to prevent the excess estrogen, which can cause gynecomastia in bodybuilders who take anabolic steroids.
Darwin also does ask, what is estrogen dominance?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a setting where there's too much estrogen, at least in women, in relation to progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, because Darwin is taking about 30 supplements, if she's taking supplements already that contain things like, for example, DIM, which may help to lower or bring more hormonal balance, or something that's maybe inadvertently lowering estrogen. But again, Dr. Hoffman, Darwin is 76.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest question.
Here's the answer, and there's always an answer on Google. Google Darwin female name, okay? See the popularity of the girl's name Darwin over time, plus its meaning, origin, common sibling names. So I think Darwin is quite cute for a girl's name, one person writes. So, probably we're talking about a female here.
Okay.
Hey, I love the tribute to Darwin, the originator of the theory of evolution.
Right.
Natural selection. The one Darwin I know is a guy.
Yeah, okay. All right, Darwin, thank you for your question.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We've got an email from Ben. Hi, Layla and Dr. Hoffman. You two have done an excellent job getting the good word out about the importance of probiotic foods and supplements. Starting a few years ago, I began eating plenty of kimchi, fermented pickles, miso, kefir, homemade sauerkraut. I also take a probiotic supplement, but about 8 months ago, I noticed I developed overly loose stools bordering on diarrhea. Mm-hmm. This condition has not subsided.
Yeah.
We know that not enough probiotics has a negative impact on digestion, but what about too many probiotics? In other words, is this too much of a good thing? Is this what's causing my condition? What a great question.
Yeah.
In short, yeah, probably.
Well, you know, this speaks to the issue of bacterial overgrowth.
Yeah.
And you actually can get, an overgrowth of even beneficial bacteria. And generally, excess bacteria has a laxative effect.
Uh-huh.
So, in fact, one of the models for treating IBSD, irritable bowel syndrome,
yes,
with a diarrheal predominance, because there's also IBSC, which is very common too, it's a constipation predominant, is to treat it as SIBO and administer a medication called Xifaxan, which kind of culls the bad bacteria, reduces the bacterial population in the small intestine, and handles some of the diarrhea symptoms. So it's a popular way that even conventional medicine now treats IBSD with a diarrheal predominance.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that, you know, it's quite possible that's happening. It's, little is good, a lot is better, not always the case.
Right. And a lot of these probiotic foods actually are not helpful in the setting with somebody who has full-blown SIBO.
Yeah.
I've heard some practitioners say it's like all that good stuff actually joins the party,
mm-hmm,
with the bad bacteria and can make problems worse. This is probably what Ben is experiencing.
Right. Another backlash from fermented foods. Fermented foods are great. They provide beneficial bacteria, essential nutrients. They, in theory, are really important part of the diet. But for patients who have histamine intolerance, they tend to be histamine triggers. So one of the symptoms of histamine intolerance, of course, classic symptoms of histamine intolerance or mast cell activation syndrome, itchiness, allergies, congestion, hives. But also gastrointestinal symptoms like gas, bloating, explosive diarrhea, that can be a symptom of excess histamine in the gut. And so, I pull back on consumption of those foods, see if it alleviates the symptoms.
That just got me thinking what you just said. We're seeing more and more people with high histamine levels and things, and I'm wondering how much the advent of, the return of all the fermented food and stuff has, if that's playing a part in all of this to some degree.
In some ways, it parallels fiber mania. We were told, first of all, the vast majority of Americans don't get enough fiber. Okay, great. But then we have these very virtuous people who measure their fiber and they have massive amounts of fiber. And then they say, gee, but I'm bloated all the time.
That's what happens when you eat enough fiber that's the equivalent of rope and then yanking it through.
Yeah, right, something like that. But also it moves things along, but it also acts as food. It acts as a prebiotic which allows proliferation of bacteria. We want those bacteria to grow, but we don't want them to overgrow.
Yeah. Mm. So Ben, the advice would be to, cut back on those fermented foods and things and so forth, and see if the loose stool problem doesn't get better.
Indeed.
Yeah. The only other thing I would wonder about Ben is if he's been on an antibiotic recently that may be contributing to this or something. But
of course, there could be other factors involved.
Yeah, there could be a variety of things going on. But that would be the first thing to do, is to cut back.
Indeed.
On the fermented stuff, yeah. Thank you, Ben.
And so that's all the time that we have for today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank our listeners for joining us. We also want to thank the many of you who found your way through the new setup for our store at drhoffman.com, because we're now using a website in the cloud for fulfillment. And it's got lots of options there. Many of you are trying it out. I hope you're having a positive experience. So thanks for shopping via the drhoffman.com store, which prompts you to register for FullScript. FullScript is a service. It's kind of like the Zappos for supplements, although...
Not enough people know what Zappos is, Dr. Hoffman. Not enough people know about Zappos.
It's like when you buy shoes, you buy them now online. But the difference is that I personally curate specific products there and list the products that I like for various conditions. And we use the self-same products that we use for patients at the Hoffman Center, and they're available to you via FullScript if you register for FullScript. So thanks so much for... helping to support this podcast, and please support our sponsors as well.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.